Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm Morgan Nagelbeck-Mouth, Dighead from the Engineer.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, contributing live via satellite from sunny West Auckland.
People liked having you here in the studio.
Well, I enjoyed being there too, but just logistically, it's quite difficult.
Yeah. I liked the sound a great deal, and not having that just little bit of extra overtalk that we do when we're on Skype. Just, you know, a few milliseconds delay is all it takes to.
And that ability to make hand gestures at each other, and for me to draw penises on pieces of paper and pass them to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just that regular sort of interaction stuff.
I can't believe you thought that was life size.
I didn't. It wasn't.
I don't even know where you got a piece of paper that big.
Are they not all like that?
No, they're not all like that. No, shroomed well, like that at the end. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. Like, I bet biologists would be fascinated. Those people who study the duck corkscrews, they'd be like, whoa, I've never seen this.
Oh, sort of God, don't remind me about duck corkscrew penises. No?
So this week we're doing the show, the stories, out of Flipboard. And this, I think, is going to turn out to be a mistake because it's the stories that I've put into the Discourse magazine on Flipboard.
It's not too late. We can do it another way.
Well, let's just see what happens.
Okay.
But, like, the most recent one is 5 hours ago, but then the one before that is 4 days ago.
Oh, my God. It's all over the place.
It's really all
over. Oh, and there's one that's not even in there. So I'm going to go for that one first. Let's go straight into the news because I just read this and I thought it was fascinating and insane.
And now the news.
I've got a trivia question for you.
Go on.
It's not a trivia question. It's like a guessing question. Guess, just as a number, in the roughly 6 months to date so far this year, 7 months, something like that,
yeah.
In the first 6 months of the year, how many requests, link removal requests, do you think that Google, which is a search engine, popular search engine,
yep,
has fielded?
Well, let's see. 6 months into the year, let's say... 7 months into the year, almost eight. Golly, I'm going to say that is about let's call it
just the first 6 months,
let's call it 200 days, and I reckon there's probably 1,000 requests a day. Let's say 200,000. I bet it's because you're talking about the world. I mean, there's a lot.
I guess
requests.
It's the world, yeah.
So I reckon it's about 200,000.
Okay, well, it's close to that. It's, 200,000 altogether.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's quite close to that.
Yeah.
It's 100 million.
100 million requests for takedowns.
That's right, 100 million. You can do the maths on that for me while we discuss the rest of this. Is that... Actually, no, I'll try. Is that... No, I can't. Five... How many is that a day? What did you say? You reckon 200-ish days. It's not really, it's 6 months, but anyway. I can't do the maths. It's a lot. A lot of requests for removals.
Yeah.
That's insane because they can't just remove the content.
How many did you say?
100 million.
100 million.
They can't just remove the content that gets reported to them, no questions asked, because, you know, that presents a fantastic opportunity for people to attack other people's websites.
Is it 576,000 a day?
Sounds about right.
Over 500,000 takedowns a day to Google.
Yeah, and so this is requesting that links not be indexed within the Google search engine, essentially, so that if you search for, let's say, a movie title, if you search for, I don't know,
Maniac.
Okay, sure. If you search for Maniac, a film that you can't legally view or purchase in New Zealand,
because we're all children.
If you were to search for that, it would not return links that had been removed, which would usually be, you'd imagine, links to torrent websites and that sort of thing.
Hey, so everybody in New Zealand, you're not allowed steak anymore because babies can't eat it.
That's what they
might choke.
That's what the takedowns are. But you can't just take them all down because otherwise I'd just go, oh, well, I don't. Or someone could just submit the National Party websites as illegal links. Anyway, so 100 million. So they have to review those somehow, I guess, to some extent anyway.
That is an astonishingly large number.
Yep. The three largest reporting organizations is one called DigBan, which represents adult content providers. And two music industry organisations, the British Recorded Music Industry Organisation and the RIAA,
of course.
Expect. And they recounted for, in the last month, those three, last single month, those three accounted for 7.5 million removal requests.
Man.
In 1 month.
So you can see how important it is that in New Zealand, our copyright infringement notices have a fee attached, because they would just bombard the ISPs.
Well, those are a little different, I guess. But yeah, if we do end up with something like the DMCA, where... Actually, there is kind of a provision for that, isn't there, still? Or did it get removed completely? Where an ISP could be compelled to remove content, or a New Zealand-based search engine could be compelled to remove links to infringing content. If we did end up with something like that, I would certainly hope there'd be some sort of fee associated with it, because that is an insane amount of work to offload onto a company at presumably their cost, because it doesn't cost anything to file a DMCA takedown notice.
Yeah, it's too much. And it's, I mean, it's not Google's job to authenticate and verify whether someone actually has kind of the authority to make that request. So I mean, they're in a very difficult position, aren't they?
They can't. I mean, there's theoretically grounds for perjury within the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, that you, if you state that you are authorized to request the removal of content, you are doing so under threat of perjury.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's actually been exercised. The whole takedown thing is interesting, and the chilling effects. So Google actually maintains quite specific reports on these takedowns, and they offer some interesting insight into the kind of false positives that turn up.
Mm.
For example, LeakID is an anti-piracy organization. They have requested, at least recently, the removal of 6 links for Microsoft products. Those links were to Microsoft.com.
I think Microsoft.com is probably authorized to distribute Microsoft products.
Are they? I don't know.
But HBO, how can you really be sure? It's conjecture. You're just guessing that it's all right.
That's correct. HBO have requested the removal of a link to an official and legitimate, well, I assume it's official. I don't know if it's official. It doesn't really matter in this case. To the removal of a link to a torrent for the VLC media player.
Yeah.
Why? Which quite clearly... A, HBO don't own the rights to, and B, it is, I believe, a free application that could be distributed over BitTorrent, legitimately.
So I don't see why it wouldn't be. I mean, it's fully open source.
Yeah, exactly. So, those are just, some of many, many examples. And someone has to look at all these things and decide whether they should be removed or not.
I think it might even be BSD, not even GPL.
There you go.
So properly, fully, kind of enforcedly open.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's but there's an interesting, because it just on a very small scale, the whole takedown notice thing, a second level connection of mine or person I sort of don't quite follow, but see a lot of tweets from on Twitter and know who he is and know some people who know him. He does. Like workshops and things on training for video, DSLR kind of workshops, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
He shot a video at one of his workshops. One of the people came along and they brought along a light from a company called Rotolight.
Yeah.
And Rotolight sells a very expensive LED-based light.
Yeah.
And they make a lot of very good claims about it. And he was like, well, okay, I've got these other lights here, so let's just set them all up and see how they compare.
You mean like one of those 700 light panel sort of things?
Yeah, kind of crazy. It's a weird, is it hexagonal shape?
Oh yeah,
okay. I think.
Okay.
Anyway, they make a lot of claims about it being fantastic.
Yeah.
So he set it up alongside another light, and just sort of said, "Look, here's these two different lights. Shoot them with the same camera at the same time. Let's just see what they look like."
Yeah.
Didn't make any conclusions. Just sort of said, "This is what we're doing. This is what the test is. Let's just see what it looks like." Posted it on Vimeo, and wrote a light, not liking the test because it didn't paint their light in a particularly good light.
Wait a second. Didn't paint it.
Yeah, okay.
They're a light company.
There it is. They filed a copyright infringement notice with Vimeo.
What is the copyright?
Well, there isn't. And not only that, copyright law has very specific exemptions for that.
For review.
Fair dealing in case of review and fair criticism.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Rotolight has not apologized for that. And nor is it back on Vimeo, as far as I know.
What?
But that's just, you know, that's the sort of shit that we now have to deal with, and everything goes online, and everything, and people start, and people do take down competitors' websites and things like that.
And apparently, wait, has the Bradley, sorry, this is a bit of an aside. Actually, let me save it. And apparently some people want to introduce laws like that into New Zealand.
Well, people who don't understand the technology.
It's not best practice, right, that American approach to copyright. It's possibly worst practice.
It was intended to be, I don't think it was, like, unlike some of the attempts at IP law that we see now, I think when the DMCA was passed, it was actually a reasonably fair effort to address, what was at that stage, a very unmanaged situation.
Yeah.
Right? So they try and create this situation where you can notify if your content is being infringed, and that's it, essentially. You notify if your content's being infringed, and that's like a process that they set up, and it seems reasonable.
Yeah.
But obviously they, you know, I don't think anyone quite envisaged how it would end up being used, and the scale on which it would end up being used.
Yeah.
So that has to be considered now, and I guess we've learned. Hopefully we've learned.
This government definitely hasn't learned anything from anyone. All they've learned is how to be quite kind of authoritarian, and I hesitate to use the word fascist, but not for very long.
Yeah, it's a word I would hesitate to use, not necessarily because it's not accurate, although I probably don't think it is, but also because that once you do, it's quite hyperbolic, and it tends to, I think, destroy
that John Key. I can't see any difference between John Key and Adolf Hitler.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. Well, that's not where I'm going. So I mean, the current government has a one-seat majority thanks to, you know, their coalition. The National Party doesn't have a majority by themselves, and they are acting like they have a supermajority. You know, they don't really appear to be particularly open to negotiation or discussion on really anything. They know what they want to do, and they're going to do it, and they reckon that with that hair-thin majority...
Oh, so and what here it is?
Eh?
Because the majority is Peter Dunn.
Oh, that's excellent point. Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a gorgeous hair thin majority. They seem to think that gives them kind of this God given right to do whatever the fuck they want.
Well, I mean, you know, broadly speaking, in the context of politics, it does. But perhaps, you know, they should not be such dicks.
They shouldn't be such dicks. I mean, I feel like the thing that is letting them get away with it actually is the media being a bit ineffective. And I mean, even with the media being, I mean, literally being attacked by our government and our intelligence apparatus, I don't understand how that can continue. I mean, surely the media has to turn against them.
Some of them do, but I think the problem is that the issues we deal with are so like these types of issues are so, well, they're not complex, but they're just outside of the knowledge of most people. It makes it really difficult for the media to communicate points clearly, and then they end up getting people on to try and communicate these points. They get talking heads on who also can't communicate the points clearly.
And the people that are meant to be forefront in that is obviously it's the opposition, and that is the, you know, the Labour Party, the supposedly.
I mean,
Shearer, I don't think David Shearer is actually the head of the opposition. I think Russell Norman is the head of the opposition now because he's so much more effective than Shearer. And, I mean, he's from a small to tiny, medium-sized party, not from the second largest party. All the little potatoes, like ACT and United Future, they aren't anywhere near the threshold. They're one-seat parties, right?
Yeah.
Why do they... Now, I mean, this is part of MMP, that, you know, a small party does get a certain amount of kind of slightly disproportionate power because of, you know, the coalition agreements, and that's something we have to deal with, I guess. But, you know...
Well, it's interesting. So the only person who's been able to, like, despite, you know, a whole select committee and things, the only person who's been effectively able to make change to the GCSB bill is Peter Dunn.
Yep.
And the only reason he's been able to make change to the GCSB bill...
He's the swing vote.
...is because, he's the vote they need. So he's the person they have to listen to.
Yeah.
And his changes, while they seem to have improved some things, still don't address the larger issues with the bill. I don't know how to feel about him because...
Yeah.
You know, he's obviously he obviously he's interested in the issue.
15
and
minutes.
And he seems, he's not an ideologue about it like anyone in the National Party appears to be.
Yeah.
But oh, he is still supporting them.
That's Mark Mr. Key.
I can't. He's.
There are things you don't know. Well, fuck you. Prove it. Prove it. I mean, every time, like a serious attack is prevented by police or intelligence agencies, like in London and so on. Like there was a big fucking.
Yeah, they usually parrot it.
They tell us all about it.
Although to be fair, they only do that when they catch someone. They don't tell us when
they fail.
As far as we know, I mean, presumably in the US and the UK and other high-profile places, they must also, you know, be aware of things and be able to stop them without necessarily catching people. So I'm sure they don't tell us about those ones. But that's, yeah, even without knowing a specific instance, I don't understand why, in a broad sense, they can't explain, like, an actual hypothetical situation. You know, we need these powers because imagine if this happened and this happened rather than we need these powers because what if bomb explodes? It's like, well, I don't.
So
there's a huge jump between what you're saying and the bomb explode thing, and I'm not sure how these specific powers make the difference.
So you said actual hypothetical. I think probably what you meant was sort of anonymized real.
Right. Yeah, well, either way, actually. But I mean, I'd be satisfied.
I'm not
with
interested
the hypothetical
in hypotheticals.
That actually, filled in the gap.
John Key's hypothetical was the Boston bombing.
Well, exactly.
That wasn't prevented by the world's largest intelligence apparatus. That was his example. What a fucking genius!
But even if he'd used that as an example and said, you know, because of this and this and this, we think we could prevent something similar. But you know, he didn't. He just said, it was just like,
what do you say to the families?
Or what if bomb? I was like, well, we're not saying that we should have no intelligence service or ability to protect ourselves at all.
That's right, John. What if bomb? When was there last a bomb? Very long time ago. I can think of two.
Yeah. We've diverged slightly, but whatever.
So it's the thing that I got excited about was the Bradley Manning whistleblower / traitor WikiLeaks collateral damage case after I think 3 years now is finally coming to an end. It has been said that the verdict is going to be released when we were recording today. It's going to be released on Tuesday.
Yeah,
in America.
It's expected to be released at 5 a.m. our time on Wednesday, which should be in the past if you're listening to this anything other than live.
Yeah, and he got locked the fuck up, didn't he? I don't see much alternative for him. He's going to be the poor bastard's going to be mistreated terribly, and I mean, you can say what you like about the Cablegate stuff. I think that may have been overreaching a bit, but that collateral damage video that needed to be released.
Oh yeah, I mean, it'll be very interesting to see what does happen,
because I mean, they murdered those people. It doesn't matter that they were in helicopters when they murdered them. They murdered them.
Yeah, there's kind of I'm not sure what to think about. I mean, there's a whole lot of Bradley Manning stuff that I'm really against how he was treated and a lot of things like that. But fundamentally, even if it was for an overall good, he did break the law, and I'm not sure. You know,
well, this is why whistleblowers actually do often get protection now
as
a member of the armed forces. Though the law is quite different to, you know.
Yeah,
to a person in that position. But, you know, the reason that we have whistleblower protection laws in many jurisdictions is the vital role that whistleblowers play.
Yeah, certainly can. I think there's some sort of, like, if we just, you know, I hope that whatever happens, there's, you know, the sentence, which seems inevitable, is not, you know, I hope there's some leniency or recognition in the sentence for what happened.
Yeah. I reckon he's going to get 20 years.
Well, could be worse, apparently. Well, I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
You already know. If you listen to this, you know.
Can you send me an email to let me know as well?
Yeah, just actually, if you could tweet now while we're on the air, that'd be great
back in time message. That'd be really good. So the chat room has pointed out Judith Collins's excellent tweet today, but we can't really get to that yet. So something that happened earlier was a bunch, they call themselves what? Anonymous New Zealand or something? They did a stupid takedown of a bunch of national.
Could very possibly be one person, you know, whatever.
It could well have been because there's just a couple of New Zealand servers, right? Or you know, shitty shared hosting servers, which practically take themselves down, don't even need to be DDoSed. So like a dozen or so of national MPs sites and maybe some small government sites? No, I think it was just national MPs.
No, it was
sites,
all MPs. It was all National Party stuff, nothing to do with the government. It wasn't an attack on government. It was an attack on National Party.
They were DDoSed. And so Brain Trust chairwoman Judith Collins, at Judith Collins MP on Twitter. So anti-GCSB...
this
hackers.
Is a quote you should read. You should put her voice on, actually. Can you do her voice?
I can't do her voice.
Oh, let me just see what... Is there a button? I'll, what is that?
What does this do? Does that sound...
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
What is that?
I don't know. That's quite weird. That's a flanging effect. Don't do that.
That is the wrong thing.
There you go. That sounds like Judith Collins.
So anti-GSCB hackers have closed down government MPs' websites, proving what they could do to people's bank accounts.
Because obviously a DDoS on a piece of shit shared hosting server is exactly the same as hacking into someone's bank account and stealing their money. That's right, Judith. It's exactly the same.
She's right, though. Well, not their bank accounts. She's almost right. Presumably, people, if they wanted to, could probably DDoS banks, and you would not be able to log into your online banking, and that would be very frustrating.
God, that'd be frustrating for several minutes.
Yeah, it would not affect the ability... presumably of a bank to do business, because I don't think their internal systems are directly connected to the internet in that way.
No.
And it would not affect your bank account.
Not in the slightest.
So that's cool, whatever. Yeah, she clearly doesn't know what she's talking about. I have this problem with Tohinere as well. I do occasionally, because he's, you know, very engaged on Twitter, and occasionally I try and engage him in discussion and just sort of, you know, get him to acknowledge just or even... seem to listen to various arguments. He usually just comes back with the similar sort of hyperbolic, deliberate misunderstandings of the issue.
He's pathetic. He's pathetic.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I mean, I like that he does talk to people, but his responses are generally not very useful.
Sometimes they're useful, most of the time they're not.
So there is a question from the chat room. Was it actually a DDoS? I don't actually know if it was a DDoS, but whatever it was.
Last night, about midnight, I couldn't be bothered actually looking to see what was happening, but the sites were down. Let's assume it was a DDoS.
Whatever it was a takedown of some shitty web server. It was not in any way, shape, or form equivalent to hacking into a bank.
Which I don't think any bank in New Zealand has ever disclosed anyway. Any sort of financial security data breach.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, of course, people's bank accounts get broken into all the time, but it's by spear phishing and so on. It's not by being actually hacked.
Oh, yeah, and banks also regularly conduct pen testing on their networks, and they, you know, I know from people who do this sort of thing that there are definitely weaknesses, but they find them and fix them pretty fucking quickly.
Yeah. So speaking of banks, bank forecloses on wrong house, changes locks, steals the contents of the house.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought we talked about it. Maybe we talked about someone else.
If we did, I was absent.
Yeah, it's possible.
For a change. And now won't compensate her and is asking for her to prove that she has receipts and so on for the stuff that they stole and disposed
well,
of.
Well, what they're saying is that they acknowledge they did it. They didn't apologize.
No.
And they won't, this is my understanding, remembering of the story, and they won't compensate her for replacement cost.
Yeah, they won't pay retail. But she has to replace the stuff is the thing. Yeah, they should be paying back more than replacement.
That, right? Where do they... Like, if your house goes into foreclosure here, the bank doesn't own your shit.
That's right.
They get your house, yeah. But I don't think that's a US bank. Yeah. I don't think they get to have your stuff.
Yeah, and so the
a
bank...
similar thing happened to another American bank customer, and he foreclosed on the bank.
Right.
He managed to get a court order to foreclose on the bank, turned up at the bank branch, Bank of America, I think it was, the bank branch, where the sheriff ordered the bank closed, locks changed, and started taking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
All those pens and deposit slips, that would have been brilliant. Yeah. So there's a funny thing that's happened, that is increasingly happening in the States, and that is people challenging, You know, so someone tries to foreclose, that the person that's being foreclosed on then challenges them and says, actually, can you prove that you own my mortgage?
And they because often can't.
Often they can't, because all of the moving around from hand to hand of those debts is complicated. And sometimes they simply cannot demonstrate it.
There's a certain, in court, there's a certain level of, or in that kind of court case, there's a certain level of proof they have to be able to deliver about the ownership of a debt like that. And apparently often, even when they can provide paperwork, they can't provide the right paperwork.
Yeah.
So as far as I know in America, there's a lot of lawyers will advise anyone who is being foreclosed upon to challenge in that way. Although, of course, you know, it costs a lot of money to do that, presumably.
Now, another thing about this bank that foreclosed on, that basically, you know, burgled this house. Another thing is that the person from the bank says that they require these receipts because the records that the people who did the actual burglary for them kept disagreed with what she claimed she owned. How reliable are these people who went to the wrong house?
Yeah, it's that's pretty amazing.
I mean, how do you trust
apparently
them for anything?
Not uncommon. I mean, it's not common, but it's not, you know, this is hardly an isolated incident.
When you have hundreds of thousands of them, right? Yeah.
But still.
So,
next story.
Another story about Southwest Airlines. So last week there was a crash landing in New York.
Yeah, the nose wheel fell off.
Yeah. So people were herded off a Southwest plane. And they had to leave their stuff on the plane.
Yeah, because that's what you do in an emergency. You don't grab your carry-on bags.
Exactly. And so this guy got his luggage back. He got his carry-on bag back, but his laptop, his MacBook Pro, and his Apple TV and his cables had all been stolen out of his bag.
Classy.
Awesome. How? I mean, so what? So if there are a bunch of criminals that have that kind of access to planes, what's the point of people taking their shoes off?
Well, they're different type of criminals, though. They don't want to blow up.
Well,
planes.
But a scumbag's a scumbag.
So they could steal more shit.
But a scumbag's a scumbag, right?
Different type of scumbag. We're only worried about scumbags who want to
hate
America and freedom.
I bet these people have very negotiable morals. If someone said, "Here's $20,000 to put some shit on this plane, on this specific plane for me," you reckon that's never going to happen with someone who has this low a level of ethic?
Not from freedom-loving Americans, it won't.
No, never. No, it couldn't possibly.
No, there's no fucking shortage of evidence stories. Even some convictions of TSA, it's the security agency themselves, TSA agents stealing shit from people's bags.
And that's
the people charged with the security.
And downloading porno scanner pictures.
Oh, all sorts of great stuff.
Remember, and that's something that people were told was impossible.
Yeah.
Those people weren't being monitored. They were sitting in back rooms looking at your naked body or your partner's naked body, and sometimes your children's naked bodies. Disgusting. They've stopped using those machines.
Have they?
Yep. Yep.
Completely?
Yeah, they're pulling them out of service. I think there's two kinds, and it might be only one kind that they're pulling out. So there's like,
I did not really enjoy standing in the naked X-ray machine.
I
also didn't really feel like finding out whatever the fuck happens when I say no.
I was just waved past it.
Yeah, I was three out of four that I passed through, but one of them I had to go through.
I don't know what I would have done. I mean, I don't know.
They yelled at me.
I think it would probably just be, I mean, I have nothing to hide. I think it would probably be faster just to go through the machine. But, you know, a pat down, I think, you know, I can actually enjoy a pat down from time to time. I just make slightly inappropriate noises and stand with my, in a slightly awkward posture. And I think it, you know, makes people feel awkward. And I don't mind if they feel awkward. They're assaulting me sexually, ideally. The way I strap my cock down down my thigh, you know, they can't really help but give me a bit of a stroke.
What would be quite fun would be, would you get away with it? Just like stick a fake prosthetic cock on each side. That'd confuse them. And then they'd be like, "What is that?" And you'd be like, "Oh, here, I'll just take it out." And you just remove it and hand it to them in the middle of the scanning area. Anyone flying to the
super realistic looking one.
Wants to try that, please.
Right, it's got to be really realistic. And I mean, ideally, you don't start by pulling it out. You start by kind of flopping it out the top of your pants and just sort of holding it there for a second, waiting for them to get good and shocked and appalled, and then you fully detach it.
So speaking of, just while we're talking of rubber cocks, have you seen the music video with Nick Offerman in it?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll figure it out and you continue the next thing.
The next thing is, it's actually good news about this insane and friggin' war criminal ongoing drone strike campaign, which has murdered so many innocent citizens in various countries, mainly Pakistan and Afghanistan, of course. The CIA, who a lot of people didn't even realize were operating their own drones, hunter-killer drones, they have cut down significantly on their drone strikes in Pakistan because they became worried about the public outcry, because it's so horrific. It's so horrible. I mean, it's a lot like that collateral damage thing, but with hellfires.
Yeah.
And, you know, several times a day, every day, for years on end now. You know, absolutely. And it's been an appalling campaign, you know. I mean, how much intelligence can there be of, you know, any given strike when you're 20,000 feet over it and don't necessarily have any on-the-ground intelligence? It just doesn't seem to be a good way to do it. Although, you know, I think that, you know, in the right context, drones make a huge amount of sense, even as, attack drones. I feel like New Zealand probably should get into doing that. We don't really have much of an air force, so why not get into the drones?
Fair enough.
But I just, maybe surveillance rather than murder. How about that for an idea?
All right.
The US Navy. Oh, I could push a button, I guess.
Next story.
US. Trigger warning. US Navy wants to help prevent sexual assaults, which is nice, by using Kinect and virtual avatars. The US military has been at the center of a sexual assault crisis over the past several years, with an estimated 26,000 members of the armed services suffering sexual assaults in 2012 alone. And that's according to their own internal data. Women are more likely to be victims of assaults, but actually almost 50%, 53% women, so almost 50% were perpetrated by men against other men, sexual assaults. So they're using games, essentially, to teach people that you shouldn't sexually assault others. That seems like something that people probably should have learned,
yeah,
like before they even got to primary school.
But if it works, then, you know, that's,
I mean, it's much better to do something to prevent this from happening. You know, it's much better to do something than nothing. But it is ridiculous that the problem is this big. It's ridiculous that they need to do this. People should get to sexually assault other people.
We all agree with that. But if this is a way that actually gets through to people in some way that for some reason they haven't had gotten through to them before, yeah, then that's a really valuable piece of learning that can be applied elsewhere. I really hope that it actually is effective.
So there's another trigger warning, and then I'm going to move off from these friends who are upset by these things.
Next story.
Twitter rape threats land UK man in handcuffs. 21-year-old Manchester man, I think, does that make a Mancunian or something?
It does, Mancunian, yep.
Has been arrested in conjunction with rape threats and other harassment following the Bank of England's decision to put novelist Jane Austen on the £10 note. Journalist and activist Caroline Criado Perez led the successful initiative to get more women on British currency, only to face a stream of abuse and threats on Twitter, up to 50 in a single hour. A spokesman from Scotland Yard said that the arrest is in connection with an allegation of malicious communications received by officers, blah de blah, and all the details.
Well, that's promising.
It really is promising. This is such a big problem on social media. The feminist frequency, what's her name? The feminist frequency woman really brought this to the fore for me. I don't know.
It's interesting. I mean, because, you know, people say dumb shit on Twitter, but there's a line. I mean, there's, you know, it's hard because you can say dumb shit that people can really take offense to unnecessarily or unintentionally, but at the same time,
Anita Sarkeesian, who had
Twitter is not
so
a place
many
threats.
Well,
the internet actually generally isn't a place. You can say whatever the fuck you want, but there may be consequences.
I feel like the consequences have not been sufficient for some quite nasty threats. I see. I think people
indeed, but they've been excessive for some other things, you know. So it's that balance. Like, it's hard to figure out quite the right way to approach it, because you can't. It's like zero. You can't have a zero tolerance kind of approach.
You're right. You can't. Zero tolerance is retarded. You have to be able to use. You know, you have to have people who are in a position to be able to use good judgment and just get rid of the bad guys, make examples of the real bad guys, and then the people who are just sort of being dickheaded, they'll maybe just think twice next time.
Yeah.
They'll realize that even if internally they haven't realized that women are humans and don't deserve to be threatened with rape, just like no one deserves to be threatened with any kind of violence. They haven't internalized that, but maybe if it's kind of externalized with the threat of, you know, difficulties in their real life away from the keyboard, maybe then that will be enough. Because some people actually, they don't understand the golden rule, and they definitely don't live by it, right? You know, most of us do. Some people don't. All right, that's the last of the that kind of story we'll do, though.
Yeah. Hey, can I then veer off on an unrelated and previously unmentioned technology tangent?
Yes, please.
Next story.
So I spent today or 2 days ago, depending on when you're listening to this, or 3 or 4 or 5, who the fuck knows. I spent
1,000 years ago,
the 30th of July,
2013. Current
year
epoch.
Or 2013. I spent that whole day at the Viaduct Event Center at the Adobe Create Now event, which I went to last year. It was very good. I wasn't quite as good this year. They didn't have cookies. But learning about some new Adobe products and features. And it's quite a good event, and I recommend you should do it. If they do it again next year, you should go and see, because you know, it's quite interesting to see just a brief overview of what the new things are. And the thing that, because, you know, I keep a pretty good eye on what the software I use all the time does.
Yeah,
you know, so I know what Photoshop does, kind of, and I know what After Effects does. I know what After Effects does, but I don't have a flying clue what Illustrator does, what InDesign does. I don't know what the hell Muse is. I don't understand all these Edge applications that I've got in my Creative Cloud. I don't know what the hell's going on with Dreamweaver anymore. I don't know any of that stuff. So it's quite cool to see a lot of that stuff, just even basic stuff, demonstrated. Have you been paying attention to any of that stuff?
There's only actually, well, yes, I have. There's several things that I'm interested in on the Edge stuff, but I don't really particularly want to talk about it now. The thing that I most want to talk about is the Photoshop camera shake / blur correction.
Okay, I saw a demo of that. The demo they showed was amazing. Whether it, you know, because they always choose best case examples for those, but at the same time, sometimes your own photos end up being best case as well, so that's good. That was amazing. They took a shot that was clearly, you know, it was like a slow shutter speed, so the camera moved during the exposure of these flowers, and they applied this anti-camera shake, and it made it not only took the shake out, it actually restored sharpness.
Right.
They've got a whole lot of new sharpening features in Photoshop I didn't realize. The whole lot of stuff in Premiere I didn't know about, but don't really care. What really astounded me, though, is, you know, the last time I paid attention to Adobe's web stuff was basically kind of Fireworks and Dreamweaver ages ago. Now, holy crap, everything, well, not everything, but almost everything they do has web fingers in it now. You can do a whole design in Illustrator and export the entire thing as CSS and HTML, and it makes standards compliant CSS and HTML, because you know, it'll take your design and get you 80% of the way to actually turning it into a full web design. It's incredible stuff. Like, if I were actually doing web development stuff anymore, which I'm not really, I would be very pleased. They've got a whole lot of tools for creating responsive designs, which is all the rage now. Amazing stuff. And in InDesign, you can make a design in InDesign and then go file, create app.
Yeah.
And that makes an iPad app or an iDevice app.
Yeah, probably a really shitty one.
Well, maybe, but, you know, for certain things, like, you know, you can build all sorts of interactivity into it and stuff. So for certain things, it'd be, you know, great. Like, if you're just a, I don't know, I imagine there's tons of opportunities to actually make it work pretty well. Yeah. You're not going to build a game in it, although they have tools for that too. But yeah, they're that stuff, I was astonished at how far that stuff's come since I last paid any attention to it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
The chat room is being mean about Dreamweaver. I use Dreamweaver almost every day, and I don't like it a great deal, but it's not the worst code editor I've ever used.
Well, the amazing stuff is, so there's Dreamweaver. You know, Dreamweaver was the last, you know, it was the last time I used stuff to do that. But they've now got like two other different ways of dealing with web code. And they both seem pretty good. I was quite astonished. And of course, you know, it's all in the cloud, so I can play with it all if I want to.
Yeah.
I was also quite surprised to see how many people still don't understand what the hell the Creative Cloud is.
Yeah.
It's not a cloud. It kind of is a cloud, but it isn't. Anyway, whatever.
Well, isn't it just software you download and they've decided to call it cloud?
Well, there's some cloud stuff in it, so that's why it's cloud. And yeah, they've got some file storage things and that sort of stuff. So it is cloudy.
I definitely want to put my 500 meg PSD files up on the internet.
Okay, but so that, right? But if you put your PSD up on the internet, this was something they showed, I was quite impressed by as well, and if I did design anymore, I would also care. But you put your PSD file up on the internet, and then you can send a link to your client, and they can log on to this website. Well, don't even have to log on. They just follow the link and go to the website. And then they can look at your thing, turn layers on and off, and make notes.
Right.
So you can do you can have three different versions. You know, logo option one, logo option two, logo option three. They can turn the layers on and off and then provide notes on it and stuff. And
what do you mean options? I tell them what I'm going to do and then I do it.
Yeah, that's right. That's how you should do it. Your clients understand.
That is the way you should do it. You should be the expert in the room and people should understand that. And you don't be a dick about it, but just make sure everyone understands the difference in the power balance is not equal.
I understand. My experience in various design jobs in the past was that clients like to have
just people. Because someone wants their logo bigger doesn't mean the logo should be bigger.
It does not. Make my logo bigger. Anyway, I don't know. That's cool.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that anymore. Pope Francis.
Yeah,
shut up. No, that's enough. Don't make me mute you.
Dreamweaver.
I don't even slightly want to talk about Dreamweaver. Pope Francis. So he said...
He hates the gays, doesn't he?
Well, he probably does, but he said something that didn't sound like it hated them. If a person is gay and looks for the Lord and had goodwill, who am I to judge them?
Totally. So here's a great tweet I saw about that. Yep. If I can find it, I probably can't. Oh, yeah. I saw that this morning and I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't really care. Whatever. And then someone tweeted, and I saw this turn up on my timeline. Someone said, as a gay man, I didn't think the Pope's comment was all that. Then I looked at conservative Catholic blogs. Absolute meltdown. Yeah. Nice one, Francis. And that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it.
Yeah. Now, a more significant change would be contraception.
Abortion, if I had to pick just women's rights for the Catholic Church to change their stance on, I think I'd choose that.
Actually, you know, the one thing I would probably be keenest... Yeah, actually the contraception thing. Is
I'd like them to change their stance on a lot of things.
The second is probably they really do have to stop having sex with little children. It really is past time now.
I think their official stance on that is probably where we want it to be now.
Finally.
Yeah, it's probably, I think now they've said that shouldn't happen. Generally speaking, don't.
Yeah, so that's three kind of mentions of sexual assault. I'm very sorry. Listeners, if you're upset by that, I'm very sorry. It will happen from time to time. I understand the difficulty of talking about that.
Next story.
So let's talk about something completely non-controversial, Chromecast.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
It came out of the blue, as far as I was concerned, $35 US.
Did it? And did it come out of the blue? Did anyone know about it ahead of time?
I'm sure lots of people did.
Actually,
I had no
idea. Because all of a sudden, one morning I got up and my Twitter timeline was exploding with Chromecast.
So this is a tiny, it's like a really big USB thumb drive. It's about the size of a, I don't even know. It's the size of the handle of a screwdriver.
Sure, okay. But sort of and, flattened and bulbous at one end.
That's right. And on one end, it's got an HDMI plug, and it plugs directly into your...
HIDMI.
It plugs directly into your TV, and if you've got an appropriately recent TV, then it's powered off that, and if you haven't, then you have to plug in a micro USB power cable. And
an adapter, but a lot of TVs also have USB ports. So
and it's... We ordered ours. We got 3 months of free Netflix with it.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, exciting.
3 months of free Netflix. And within the first day, I think that there was such a massive uptake of these things, they actually took that off the offer.
Oh, wow.
So effectively, if you already were a Netflix subscriber, you would get you know, a code that would make it free for you for 3 months. If you have previously been a Netflix subscriber, you get the 3 months. If you've never been a Netflix subscriber, you get the 3 months. So effectively, for all of those people, the actual player device that does all the streaming from the internet cost $11.
Right now, nearly. Man, it's... everyone was like, oh, it's, just, you know, it's not as good as Apple TV, which maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We'll see. But it does some, it's interesting that the approach they've taken with it is different.
I really hope that it is possible to play stuff from local in a sort of an AirPlay way. It they haven't really said that it is, because it really is just for streaming stuff off the internet.
But well, there's an app. There's an app, like it's you know, it's got a an SDK and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So if there isn't now, there very possibly could be.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope so, because if I don't get that, then you know, this is less useful for me, and I will just continue using the Apple TV. The Apple TV actually wouldn't be that great for me without Xbox Media Center. You know,
actually, which... weirdly, so that's where I'm at the moment. Yeah. My Apple TV has stopped doing Netflix. I don't know why.
Oh, weird.
It just always tells me that Netflix is unavailable. I've tried removing my account and recreating my account, and I've done all sorts of things. I can't upgrade it, because if I upgrade it, I lose my XBMC.
Yeah.
Which is frustrating. Yeah, so I use XBMC for watching stuff locally. I also have Plex on there, which is good, but not as good as XBMC.
Yeah.
I've also got the Roku, which doesn't have any ability to play off local networks, but also has Plex.
Yeah.
And then I probably should get a WD Live TV, which does both effectively, natively, without me having to hack stuff into it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So after that talk of using the Discourse Flipboard app, only those two most recent stories have actually come off Flipboard. The rest I got from Feedly.
Oh, well, I haven't even looked at it.
I couldn't help myself. So do we want to talk about Carlos Danger?
Man, one day we have to figure out how to do this podcast thing properly.
It works really well when we're in the same room, and actually better when Ben's around.
Yeah, he's quite good at... No, he's... I don't know.
He's not really good at anything other than breathing into the thing, but he sure does pull an audience.
Interesting.
He's got that voice. It's very easygoing sounding, old Ben.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's currently, well, not currently, but kind of currently unemployed. Between jobs, he's not actually still working at his old job.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's resigned there and hasn't accepted a new job anywhere yet.
Yeah. Carlos Danger, Anthony Weiner.
Maybe we could hire him.
Ben?
Yeah.
I would hire him.
What's our staffing budget like?
Dollar.
I'll put it to him. Anthony Weiner.
Maybe $1.50. $1.50 and a pie for lunch each day. We'll provide a pie every day. But he has to pay for his own carpet. He'll probably take that. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to turn down a pie. I'm not talking about like a special pie. I'm talking about just a petrol station pie.
What if we spent a little bit more, get him like a bakery pie? Nothing. I'm not saying we get him like a really fancy one, not like a $4 one.
Does he seem like a bakery pie sort of a guy? I feel like he's more of a kind of a stack of three Big Ben pies.
Oh, mind you, it's hard to go past the Big Ben sometimes.
And maybe one of those, if they even are possible, to still get one of those 1 liter bottles of Mountain Dew.
I think we could. Yeah, I reckon that. I'm sure that'd bring him in. So you were saying something about someone?
He has to provide his own laptop.
Well, of course.
I've heard that he does a lot of like porn stuff, and I wouldn't feel comfortable with him using any of the Discourse computers, because I mean they are I value the sanctity of the just the clean surfaces in this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In the studio are quite valuable to me.
Mm.
I worked with a girl once.
Oh God. Should I stop you just before you start telling the story to make you just take a second to think whether you definitely want to tell the story?
I can't remember what her name was, so I can't reveal that.
Okay.
I worked with her at iHug, and her hands, I mean, if you looked at them, you'd just think they were normal hands. But then if you looked at her mouse, the kind of the crusted, filthy runnels, the buildup on her mouse... It was foul. I think it was probably from putting moisturizer on all the time. But it looked like just filthy, crusted crud. Just, oh, it was disgusting. Couldn't believe it. Can't remember her name, though. That's terrible of me. I worked with her for probably like 2 years. All those people were made redundant. Yeah. Oh, good old IHUG, eh? What a pack of fucking assholes. she wasn't. She wasn't. She was just, you know, moderately, you know, and not incompetent worker bee. But a lot of people there were assholes. Hey, let's do
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
So I understand, Dylan, you've got a word for me.
Yep. But first you have to talk about whatever story it was you were doing before you started this.
Anthony Weiner, disgraced former congressman, has been caught in another sexting scandal, or was last week. He resigned from Congress in 2011 after posting, he posted photos like of... He packs meat. He's got like a decent-sized cock, right?
Totally.
And he posted quite fucking good photo of his I don't know if it was like a semi, but it was a well-stretched bit of underpant material on his man.
Yeah, there was a fair bit of outline.
On his man beef. Yeah, good. Yeah. Good light and dark. It was well-composed, that picture. Mm. But so apparently it went beyond just sending, you know, the odd flirty, dirty DM or text to girls that he found on Twitter and, you know, wherever else. He was also inviting girls like to meet him at motels and stuff. So he was a creepy cheat, and I cannot stand fucking cheats. It's just, I mean, you know, ideally we would have two separate countries, and the people who cheat can go in. I'm talking about two parts of New Zealand. The cheats can all go into Cheat Zealand. And those of us who are not fucking cheats, we can stay in monogamy land. And there'll probably be a fucking lot of them, but they have to go to the South Island, I guess. Well, right. They probably already... I mean, Invercargill's full of all those wife swappers and keys in the hat swingers and stuff, right? So maybe they're already mainly down there. I don't know. Anyway, so he's a filthy cheat. But I understand he was actually quite good as a congressman. So, you know, his sexual... predilections, his peccadilloes aside, I think he was actually pretty good at his job. But unfortunately, in the States, it's not enough just to be good at your job. Anyway, so he's running for, is he running for mayor? Or is he running for, what is he running for? I think he's running for mayor, right? Of New York, which is where he was a congressman. And he, at least as recently as I added the story to Feedly, which was yesterday, was refusing to stand down, even though more photos had been dredged up. But yeah, I think that's not fair, like, because these photos aren't new. These photos, I've seen, they were a year old.
No, yeah, but the ones I saw were like from May.
Oh, yeah.
That's more recently than a year ago. And,
yeah. And he was sending them during the scandal. So like the day that he said that he had a lot to work on with his wife, he was sending photos of his fucking cock to strange girls.
Problem. I still hope he wins mayor. That'd be fantastic.
He was, well, the thing is that before these came out, he was ahead in the race.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's funny. It's a funny sort of thing. So he's got some sort of sex addiction. And you know, I figure that, you know, if everyone is consenting, then it doesn't matter. But I don't believe his wife is consenting. I don't believe that she thinks she has an open relationship. So that's, you know, it's not all right. Yeah, it's not all right. But, you know, as long as all the people that he's sending these messages to are enjoying it and having a good time and maybe sending back tit shots or whatever, then what if that's what he does on his phone, as long as he's good at being a legislator or being a mayor? You know, I'm sure that a whole lot of disgusting carry-on goes on in Wellington when our distinguished members of parliament stop sitting for the night. You know, I'm sure they do all sorts of foul shit. Drunk and they puke in the gutter and they have sex with prostitutes and
it's such a small country.
Yeah,
like in the States, you know, I'm gonna get this wrong, is it congressman or senator? I think it's senate. So in the States it's like 500 senators.
Yeah. No, I think it's the Congress that's big. I think the senators, I think there's about one.
Well, whatever it is.
I think
there's two. There's two houses of government, and one is like 560.
Yeah, it's the Congress, which is big.
And the other one, the Senate, is like 120.
I think it's 100.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's two per state.
Two per state. That's right. That sounds right.
We've got the internet. We don't need to guess. How many senators?
We do need to guess because we can't be bothered typing it into the Google.
How many senators are there in the Senate? Oh, well, now that's Canada. Oh, that's the United States Senate.
Anyway, there's shitloads of them. It's pretty easy for them, you know, to not... And also, no one cares about politics.
Yeah.
So I assume that the anonymity is a little bit easier over there. Plus, you know, there's more money and power and shit. I'm fairly certain if a New Zealand politician was regularly getting shit-faced and puking all over Cuba Street, we'd see photos on Twitter.
I think we have. Not the puking so much, but I mean, we've heard stories about people making sexual advances on, what was his name? The redhead Labour boy who made sexual advances on that lad, and he ran naked.
I
want to
say, because I can't remember for sure, and the name I'm thinking might not be the right one, and then I'll get in all sorts of trouble. Well, I won't get in trouble.
It was Trevor Mallard, I'm pretty sure.
David Shearer?
Anyway. So there are 100 senators, there are 435 congressmen.
So altogether there's 535
Congress creeps.
Elected representatives.
And a president. And judges and county
and a vice president and
sheriff and all those other things. They also elect all of those positions, which is kind of
strange. Electing judges, what the hell?
Madness. Absolute madness. If there's one position that should not be politicized.
Well, electing sheriffs as well. Elect a sheriff and then don't necessarily have to be qualified for the position. It's insane.
Yeah.
Plus, they run the people who run their, you know, state election offices are partisan.
Yeah.
Like, it's completely insane.
Yeah.
And they get to draw up the borders for... God, I'm not even going to go into this. So I've got my Urban Dictionary Word of the Week for you.
Urban Dictionary Word of the Week.
Word of the Week, Darren Hughes. Sorry, go on as you were.
I have two options. Would you like one or two?
Both. One.
Okay, well, the first one is white lobster.
White? Now, I want these to be clean, Dylan.
This is
white lobster. Clean. I say white lobster is...
It's clean enough.
White lobster. I can't really think of anything funny for white lobster. White lobster is... It's turkey.
Yeah. Nope. We have a loser.
Oh,
white lobster.
Wait.
You're all wrong.
White lobster is cocaine, obviously.
Oh,
Colombia
weird.
Drug smugglers often dump their illicit cocaine cargo when confronted by law enforcement. Lobster fishermen in Nicaragua's Mosquito Coast often end up recovering the cocaine and therefore refer to it as white lobster.
Well, that makes sense, but I was never going to guess correctly.
Number two.
A
little dirtier. Nothing worse than what we've said on the show already, though.
It's poop.
Shack dick. Shack dick.
It's a big one. Just, you know, it's named after Shaquille O'Neal, who is a monster of a man, and a proportionally sized penis is going to be the size of a normal man's forearm.
You're exactly wrong.
Oh.
It is an unusually small penis on an unusually big guy.
Oh. That was unexpected. Wait, does that mean Shaquille has... Is he, like, under-equipped?
Shaq is said to have a shack dick. That's correct.
That's weird. But his feet are like 25 feet long.
I think maybe that feet to penis correlation is perhaps, I'm just going to throw this out there, is perhaps not scientific.
Well, I always thought that it was based on empirical study. So here's a good idea. The Church of England, so they've noticed this problem with loan sharks and payday loans and so on.
Oh, yeah, the church. Okay, this is interesting. The Anglicans.
They are going to start offering payday loans without being vicious, evil bastards. So, I mean, they will charge interest, but they won't charge, you know, 180% a year interest.
They don't need to charge, they don't even really need to charge market interest. Surely they must have cash.
So apparently the UK reserves. Payday loan industry is worth £2 billion.
I like this. This is good.
Yeah.
1 minute.
Do you know who could do something like this?
Tell me.
This is anecdotal, and it may not be true.
Yeah.
My father, who's had a number of Tongans working for him in the past, because he's a builder and he has contractors, quite often members of Pacific Islands churches, where they are very strongly expected to give certain tithes, will take payday loans to tithe to the church.
Yeah.
So that's completely the wrong fucking way around.
That's disgusting.
Yes,
it's absolutely disgusting. I think there are a lot of churches around that are just, you know, they line their coffers, you know, and they,
yeah, they should do a lot more. I'm sure some of them do, and it's, I can't say they don't, but they should. This is a fantastic forward step, and that's really good, and exactly the sort of thing churches should be doing for their members and communities.
Four.
The chat room pointed out that Jesus didn't like money lenders and he drove them from the temple. I actually don't know if the Church of England is charging interest. I just assume that they are charging some interest.
One.
Anyway, see you next week. Thank you. Goodbye. I love you.
Bye.
You're listening to the weekly show on with God.
Sorry, we're using that one.
Do you know who knows a lot about Jesus?
Christians.
No, a Muslim man named Reza Aslan.
Oh.
Did you see that interview?
No.
Oh my God. You can't watch it now because it's 9 minutes.
Yeah.
But I will find it and send you the link. It is the most ridiculous interview. So if this is still on the show and you're still listening to this,
yeah,
Reza Aslan is a religious scholar.
Yeah,
he happens to be a Muslim.
Yeah,
and he appeared on Fox News, yeah. And it was the most shameful. It was just the most shameful interview in the history of ever.
Even for Fox?
Even for Fox. It made everything else on Fox. Although it was just taken on its own as a 9 minute sort of sample of Fox News, it's a fantastic insight into the way the people on this channel think. Even if you just ignore what they're talking about, the fundamental issue is the woman who's interviewing him can't get past the fact that he is a Muslim and writing about Jesus, yeah, right? Because she can't understand how, as a Muslim, he could write about Jesus without deliberate bias to lie, basically.
But don't Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet?
Yeah, that's not really the point. Yes, they do. Anyway, so he makes some fantastic points, and he manages to keep his cool where I think a lot of other people would not have and would have stormed off or something. It's an amazing interview.
Well, isn't that because Reza Aslan is just really, really...
He's kick-ass.
Brilliant.
And he's talking
very,
about.
Very clever.
Yes, very, yeah. Very much it's because of that. The thing that I thought was really insightful about it is this woman can't comprehend how someone with one opinion could possibly deal with anything, someone with, you know, with a position on something, kind of, I guess if you can call being a Muslim having a position on Christianity,
yeah,
could possibly deal with something in an unbiased way, or at least a reasonably unbiased way, if you accept that we can't do anything without bias in some way. But yeah, so then you sort of translate that back to her and you're like, right, well, this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And she astonishingly likens his as a Muslim scholar, his writing a book, as a religious scholar, his writing a book about Jesus, she likens it to a Democrat writing a book about Reagan.
That's probably happened.
Of course it's fucking happened.
There are probably dozens.
Certainly, as there are many books about Islam and Mohammed and all sorts of other things written by Christians.
Yeah.
So, yeah, amazing, amazing interview. I just seriously, the worst mainstream television interview I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I hope it remains that way. I hope it remains the worst.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of stories that were posted in a Metafilter post called The Rise of the Religious Left, about religious progressives as opposed to the right-wing religious conservatives that have kind of dominated American politics for the last, certainly the last couple of decades, I guess. Perhaps longer. I'll just put it in the show notes and you can read them. You know, all these Metafilter posts, they've got so many fucking links. There's always so many links. And it's like, just how about you post the one good one?
How about you? Oh, I can't admit it. I was going to say, how about you read all these articles and then summarize them for us in a blog post and just tell us where that is?
That sounds like work.
It does, doesn't it? It sounds like a lot more typing than just putting a few links into a Metafilter.
Yeah.
Entry link thing.
BMW yeah. driver, is this a passenger? Jono Donker is lucky to be alive after the car he was travelling in flipped onto its roof on State Highway 1, about 1.5 kilometres north
Just flipped, did it?
Yep.
He was driving along, suddenly that big air ram underneath it goes off and just flips the car right over.
Don't understand what happened, officer. We were going well under the limit because we're nice, safe drivers. The thing is, I mean, cars don't just flip over.
No, unless there's like a ramp or like chickens or a fruit stand or your police car in a chase, in which case you flip over and your siren goes woo, woo,
95% of the time. And then your watch stops.
Yeah.
Doctor, oh my God. This is a weird story. I don't really know. I don't have a particular take on it yet. Doctor suspended over abortion drug prescription. A doctor has been suspended for 6 months for illegally prescribing abortion medication.
And is IU486, I assume?
It's Cytotec, a.k.a. misoprostol.
Okay. Right. Don't know what that is, but all right.
And ordered to pay nearly $29,000 in costs. But it's a strange story because she prescribed a lot of it to a small number of people. So my assumption actually is that she was giving it to people. She was prescribing it to people who are then providing it to people who, you know, for whatever reason, not able to safely or not, you know, whatever, to go and get it themselves. That's my hunch. Because so she prescribed 56 tablets of this stuff to one patient, 16 to another, 8 to a third, and 2 to the fourth patient. But so if it's possible, see, I'm not a medicalist, right? I don't know how many of these misoprostol tablets you need, but if a prescription of 2 is sufficient, then a prescription of 56 is far too many.
Yes.
Right. See, so I'm just, it's a little bit of conjecture. I'm jumping to conclusions, you know, I'm reading between the lines, and that's what my hunch is, that she was getting around the law, the Contraception, Sterilization and Abortion Act. She's getting around that by prescribing to a small number of people a lot of these tablets, and then they're providing it kind of outside of the law to other people who need it. So there's that. And I guess this is a consequence. You know, this is something that came up the other week when we were talking about the Texas legislature and the kind of the anti-abortion moves they're making there. We don't have great laws here for abortion in New Zealand. You know, it's illegal in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Right? You need to see a doctor and so on. And so, you know, maybe this is the sort of the consequence of that. But it doesn't say exactly what those women were doing with their mini tablets. But you know, my assumption—I don't think it's—I don't think it's crazy. My assumption. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Let's. I want to watch this Reza Aslan story. So.
Yeah, you totally should. Also, that music video that I sent the link to, which if you do put that in the show notes, word of warning: the music video, while it is kind of awesome, perhaps not the sort of thing you want to watch in front of children or at work or yourself. If you're occasionally offended by things that look quite a lot like real penises, but probably aren't.
Oh, this is the Nick Offerman link. All right. Okay.
Great. Just it's an astonishing music video, but just keep that in mind.
It's not doing that well on Funny or Die. 77%. It is not. I mean, the stuff that is marked
immortal.
I want
to point out it does have a penis in it, and there are some people who just will not. See any light side in looking at a penis.
The first comment is, what the fuck did I just watch?
That is about the appropriate comment for watching this video.
All right. Where's my little button?
Fish and chips. Sorry, and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.